Well, this afternoon, we just wanted to have a short time of fellowship with you all. This is not a message per se. It's just a time for us to have some fellowship together before dinner starts. And in particular, we just want to pick up from where the brothers have already left off. I really appreciated Brother Daniel speaking this morning and what the brothers have shared with us thus far about enjoying the flow of the divine stream. A need to see the divine stream, but not only so, to remain in the divine stream our entire lives. I really appreciated that point. You know, Brother Daniel shared something to the effect that, you know, our enjoyment of the divine stream is not just for a weekend conference, right? The Lord's desire is not just to flow out during a weekend college conference. The Lord's desire is that every day and in every situation, we can enjoy the flowing triune God. Amen. So I really appreciated that because it just touches our practical day-to-day living. Every day we can experience the flowing triune God. Amen. And in particular, you know, when Brother Daniel was he was sharing on Roman numeral 2 from message 2. You know, we went through these very practical steps of needing to confess, right? Needing to speak to the Lord. Needing to, needing to praise the Lord. Needing to thank the Lord. Needing to call on the name of the Lord. And I like the example that he gave of even learning to, and I don't know if you picked up this phrase that our brother shared, but even needing to redeem the time. So the example he gave was, you know, in college we may experience a lot of lines, right? We may be in lines a lot. So while you're waiting in line, he shared, you know, why not take the opportunity to get into the Word, right? Most of us nowadays have the Bible on our phone, right? Why not read the Word while you're waiting in line? Why not enjoy the flow while you're waiting in line? And even more, why not flow out to someone else in line, you know? The Lord has put someone else in that line. Why not speak to that person in line, you know? So I really appreciate this matter of realizing and learning to redeem our time. Redeem our time. But this word time, this is a really precious word, time. So in the Greek language, there's actually two words for time. One is chronos, and that's where the word chronology comes from. And that basically is just a unit of measure. You know, there's so much time in a day, right? But the other word for time in Greek is kairos. Kairos. And that's the time that's in Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. And this time has the feeling of something to be grasped. Something to be laid hold of. Within time, there is an opportunity that we can grasp. That's what it means to redeem the time. So while we're standing in line, there's an opportunity to be grasped, to touch the flowing triune God. You know, there's an opportunity to be grasped, to flow out to someone else, to preach the gospel, right? But, and this is wonderful. I really appreciate our brother's fellowship, you know. Realizing those opportunities when you're in car and someone cuts you off, seizing the opportunity, redeeming that time to enjoy the flow, right? But, and our burden for this time is, what if we could create these own opportunities for ourselves? Rather than just waiting for the opportunity, what if we made these opportunities? What if we redeemed the time by making the opportunities for ourselves to enjoy the flowing triune God? You know, this thing that I really enjoyed also from Brother Daniel speaking, was, you know, as he was sharing about the Amazon River, he was talking about this mighty river. And I think something to the effect that at its widest point, it's over 100 miles wide, right? And he said, how much more is the flowing triune God, right? But this flowing triune God is not for us just to merely observe and appreciate, right? The flow of the triune God is for us to jump into. We need to jump into the divine stream. We need to seize the opportunity to jump into the divine stream. And that's something that I've really enjoyed regarding this, redeeming our time. And this is the burden of the time of our fellowship this afternoon, is even to talk about in our college years how to manage our time. You know, we may have heard this a lot. Okay, I need to schedule my time. I need to manage my time. But for what purpose? We need to schedule our time. We need to have a vision that we need to schedule our time so we can enjoy the flowing triune God.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know if anybody else has had this experience, but I think this is a pretty common experience. This has been my experience, and to some extent it still is my experience. I hear a word and I have a desire. I'm going to read the Bible every day. You know, I'm going to pray with my companions every day. And then life comes in, right? College comes in. Oh, I have this class. I need to study. I have this exam. And before you know it, where has the day gone, right? Has anybody had this experience? Where has my time gone, right? But if we have the view to redeem our time by scheduling our time for the Lord, we can make a point of seizing the opportunity every day to touch the flowing triune God.
Amen.
So, you know, rather than waiting for the opportunity, in a sense, to speak to someone if you're in line, why not have a set time to go out and preach the gospel? Rather than waiting, you know, because I'm in a line, I should read the word. Why not have a set time every day to get into the word? And so, anyway, I just really appreciate these points, you know, that are in Roman numeral 2. You know, all these needs, you know, we can, in our college years, learn to manage our time.
Amen.
And schedule our time for the Lord.
Amen.
We should allow the Lord to be the Lord of our time.
Amen.
We need to redeem it for the Lord, you know. And the reason why time disappears from us so quickly is because, you know, one thing that I was appreciating about this matter of the divine stream is actually in this universe a contrast to the divine flow. And Brother Joe touched on this a little bit Friday night, is there's actually a flow in this universe contrary to the flow of the divine stream. And we can call this the tide of the age or the current of the age. You know, it's easy for a time to get swept away, to get usurped, right? By good things, by bad things, and we're not even sure where our time went, right? And so what we want to do, though, is we just want to fellowship with you all about taking the opportunity to redeem our time from the tide of this age.
Amen.
and give it to the Lord.
Amen.
Redeem our time from all the other things and give it to the Lord.
Amen.
Spend our time on the Lord.
Amen.
Even in a positive sense, I would say, quote, quote, we would learn to waste our time on the Lord.
Amen.
Why not give our time to the Lord in this way, in our college years,
Amen.
Right? I think Sam's going to help us kind of take a look at our schedules as college students to kind of have a sense of our time. But I just really wanted to just touch this point. And maybe we can all read this verse that I'm kind of speaking on in Ephesians. So maybe can we all turn to Ephesians 5:16 and just read that together? Does everybody have it? Okay, Ephesians 5:16. Let's all declare it together. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Again. The days are evil, right? There's a note here in the study Bible that I have for days, and it says, in this evil age, every day is an evil day of pernicious things that cause our time to be used ineffectively, to be reduced, and to be taken away, right? Therefore, we must walk wisely that we may redeem the time. Seizing every available opportunity. Saints, what if we seized every available opportunity for the Lord, you know? And so, you know, this sounds kind of, extreme or sounds a little, you know, more than we can handle. But, you know, what we're talking about and what I think Sam will bring out is we're not talking about, you know, I have to read my Bible for an hour. You know, we're not talking about I need to pray for half an hour. We're talking about, like Brother Daniel presented, you know, when there's opportunity, we can grasp 10 minutes here, right? 5 minutes here, 20 minutes here, just to enjoy the Lord and enjoy the flow of the triune God. You know, if we hear this word this weekend and then we go back and we just get caught up in the current of this age, right? And we don't take the time to drink, then we'll miss the flow. The Lord, as the flowing triune God, is well able to flow. And He's ready, you know. But like the focus that we read this morning, the triune God desires to dispense Himself into us. And He dispenses by flowing. But we must cooperate with Him. Amen. We have to cooperate with Him by drawing water with joy. And ways to draw water are we can get into the Word. We can enjoy the Word day by day, right? We can enjoy times of prayer. We can enjoy having times with our companions. We can enjoy touching the Lord first thing in the morning. What if first thing in the morning, for 5 minutes, we seize the opportunity to enjoy the Lord, to start our day in the flow of the divine stream, and just allow ourselves to be carried away by the divine stream, rather than to wake up, to do whatever we may do, to get distracted, and to be slowly carried away by the tide of the age, right? To be carried away by all the things of our day, all the anxieties of our day, all the other things, you know. There's a brother in Orange, and he was telling me the Lord was touching him because when he wakes up in the morning, the first thing he does sometime is reach for his phone and to check his Instagram feed, you know. What happened via Instagram, you know, while I was sleeping, you know. And that's how he starts his day, you know. And he realizes his experience has been, when I start my day looking at Instagram, no flow, right? But, and this brother and I, we actually have a scheduled time Monday morning at 7, Monday morning with some other brothers, where we enjoy the Lord. And his experience, in contrast, has been, wow, there's a flow. His day is different. He begins his day by jumping into the flow. You know, that's what the Lord wants. He's flowing. He's a mighty flowing out God. But the Lord is saying, don't just appreciate me. Jump in. Amen. Jump into this flow. Amen. Get carried away in the flow. Drink. Enjoy me. This is the Lord's desire for us every day, right? And in our schedules and in our days, we would not only find the time, but we would make the time to jump into the divine stream. To enjoy the flowing triune God. Amen. So this recently has been a little bit, I just want to share like an experience of mine, a little bit of my practice and how I've been endeavoring to schedule my time, you know. I had the benefit, I graduated about a year ago from the full-time training, and I had the benefit of tasting the value of having a scheduled living. You know, in the training, we live by a schedule, you know. And you realize there's so much time in a day when you schedule out your time. And you can really use it. How is it that I'm able to get to so many classes, do, you know, go on the gospel, study, all within, you know, a day, you know. And so I've been practicing this as I've been on campus, serving in Orange. I've been practicing making a schedule. And my experience has been, you know, at the start of every semester, it develops a little bit more. But I'm using Google Calendar. I'm utilizing Google Calendar, which is synced to my phone. And at the start of every semester, I just type in my schedule, you know. I'm taking a history class at Chapman. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, from 2:30 to 3:45, I know where I should be. I should be in history class, you know. That's where I should be. That's how my time should be used, right? Every morning from 9 to 11, I should be in coordination. I know that. I need to be in coordination, so I put that in. I only have one car, and my wife needs to get to work. So I know every morning at 7:30, I need to drive my wife to work because she needs to make her schedule. She needs to get to work on time, right? So that's all in, right? But recently, I've been enjoying putting in Monday mornings. I have morning revival with the Brothers House in Orange. Schedule it in, you know. Tuesday mornings, I have a prayer time at 7:10 with a dear brother. I need to schedule that in. Friday morning, I have a prayer time, you know. I have my Bible reading times. Every afternoon, I schedule in some time to be with the Lord, to speak with the Lord, just to quote, waste time on the Lord. 15 minutes just in the afternoon just to waste time on the Lord. And it's not perfect. I can't say that I have those times with the Lord every day. But it's there. And that time has already been apportioned for the Lord. And my phone even reminds me. I get a text message. In 15 minutes, I need to have a date with the Lord. In 15 minutes, I need to spend time with the Lord. You know, technology is marvelous, you know, nowadays. We can utilize technology. We don't just need like a flip calendar or, you know, like a thick, you know, like planner that we used to carry around. It's all on our phone. We can schedule in the flow on our phone. You can get a text in 15 minutes, touch the flowing triune God. And that can be just a living reminder to us, day in and day out, to stop and drink, to set some time apart for the Lord, to redeem our time, right? To pay a price, to take that time and seize the opportunity every day for the Lord, for the flowing triune God, right? Because the Lord's desire is not that we would just receive Him once and that be it. The Lord's desire is to flow in us continually.
Amen.
Flow in us, flow through us, and even flow out of us.
Amen.
Flow to our friends, right? Flow to our family. But there's no way that we can flow to others if there's not a flow within us.
Amen.
You know. Anyway, so, well, I mean, just along the lines of testimonies, I just want to ask a couple students who also have been endeavoring in scheduling this semester. And I think they've also had some experiences, and their testimonies are not ones of like success. You know, I'm great at scheduling. You know, I'm great at giving my time to the Lord, but they're endeavoring.
Amen.
They're learning. And I appreciate this is something that we should never feel like we can graduate from. Every year, every stage of our life, we need to learn a little bit more how to use our time, how to redeem our time for the Lord. You know, and so these testimonies from these students, I think they'll be very precious. And again, they're just testimonies of ones that are endeavoring to redeem the time for the flowing triune God. Amen. So maybe we can have Pablo and Viviana, if you want to come up.
First of all, I wanted to, as Ben mentioned, throughout in the last few semesters, I've been trying to endeavor and have this scheduled time, right? And in the past couple semesters, I've actually been able to use my phone and use my calendar and my computer and my phone to schedule a lot of my classes, you know, and not just, you know, spiritually, but academically too, you know, things that I have to do and different responsibilities. And it's helped out a lot. But I think two of my main burdens in sharing my experience this afternoon is, one, that this matter of time management has a lot to do with our humanity. I feel like in college, you know, prior to college in high school, like, I feel like, you know, we have a scheduled time. You go to school every morning. You have, you know, you don't need to really manage your time that much because you're depending on your parents and you just do the same thing every day. But then when you get to college and you're a freshman, I don't know if the freshmen have experienced it, all of a sudden you have like a bunch of free time and you're like, wow, what do I do with all this time, you know? Facebook all day or, you know, you just waste your time. And it's true. I've experienced it and I failed my freshman year. I mean, and I sometimes continue to fail. But anyways, it's just, I feel like college is the best time to really seize the opportunity to learn to manage your time. And I feel that the Lord could use this to work in your humanity, you know, to make you more useful for Him. Because, you know, later on, you know, whatever you may want to do, the Lord may lead you to do, if you're just, you know, a lazy bum, you know, who just does, you know, barely, it's procrastinator and you doesn't get anything done, the Lord can't work that much with that humanity. I was just enjoying sharing with a brother, you know, if you look at the example of Paul, you know, Paul was such a one that was so well trained, you know. He was like, he had such a high education, and he wrote like almost the whole New Testament. He was so useful to the Lord. On the other hand, you see ones like, you know, Peter, you know, other ones that maybe weren't, you know, so educated, and they didn't write so many books. I don't know. But anyways, I just feel like the more you're trained and the more you give yourself to the Lord in your humanity, Lord, you know, I'm in college, you know, I have work in my humanity, and one of these things is time management. You know, just pray to the Lord to that he would, you know, take your time, you know. And another thing that I would say is this matter of time management, you know, allowing the flow to come in. You know, I was enjoying this verse on Matthew 6:33 that at first I didn't realize that maybe would be so related to time management, but then I'll read it to you all. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I just realized, you know, even in our time management, if we give the Lord the preeminence every morning, you know, especially this semester, the Lord has been very faithful and merciful to me to, you know, every morning I've been able to get up, you know, every Monday helps so much when this guy comes here to the brother's house and kind of gets the week going, you know. And then I realize, wow, and then every morning I've been able to get up, you know, and touch the Lord in the morning. And I tell you, my experience has been so good. Whenever I don't do it, my day is not the same and things go wrong. So anyways, just this matter. And you know, the kingdom, you know, give, you know, it says, but seek first his kingdom. And I realize the kingdom is the flow. We see in Revelation 22, you know, the river comes out of the throne. So the flow ushers us into the kingdom. So when you really give the flow the preeminence, the Lord has a way to really just, and you're just enjoying, you know. And throughout the day, you just get more stuff done, and you just feel happier. Hallelujah. So anyways, I would just encourage you all to really take this matter, you know, seriously, and use, you know, our time in college for the Lord to work in our humanity and give the Lord the first place.
Okay. My personal experience with scheduling, like at first it was really difficult because I went from just going to high school and then, you know, I was involved in sports and then, but I had that set schedule. But now I had like classes that I had personally chosen, like the times. Mm-hmm. And then I got like a job, and then I had other things that I wanted to do. So I guess my excuse was always, well, I don't have time. And I really, really appreciated the college training because we had the schedule, and it, I guess most of all, I really enjoyed that it made me realize that there is time for the Lord in my day. And I guess in my mind, I always had the concept, like, it has to be, like, a half an hour or an hour, and I don't have an extra half an hour, an hour in my schedule because my work schedule is always changing, and, you know, but it doesn't even have to be big chunks of time. Like, even if you get up in the morning 15 minutes earlier, or if 15 minutes between classes, 10 minutes driving from school to my house to get changed for work, you know, like just all these little itty bits of time that we're just wasting. I have the Bibles for America app on my phone, and it has the New Testament in it with like the footnotes. So just like there's a Facebook app, there's a Bible app. Like,
amen.
All you have to do is choose, and I really enjoy that. And I guess as it's my second year of college now, so I've gotten a little bit better at it. Now I do have scheduled time with like the sisters on campus, and we have a Bible study time. And I'm always like, oh well, I don't have like an hour, but when I have that time scheduled, then somehow I end up with like more than an hour. Wow. And because just the enjoyment, like it's the flow, it just keeps going and it's awesome. And I mean, if we really think about it, it's not that hard. The Lord's schedule is just always open for you. So, yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Don't wait till the training, start in college.
Amen. Yeah, I appreciate it so much. The Lord is always waiting for us, right? And I appreciate that Viviana said, we just need to choose. You know, sometimes it may just be the difference of two apps, you know, my Facebook app or my Bibles for America app, you know, just to enjoy the Lord. And so, anyway, I'll kind of end here, and I think Sam is going to kind of share something more practical with us. But just again, just to kind of reemphasize this point, you know, we just want to encourage you all to get into the habit of redeeming the time and realizing that our time is for the flow. You know, we need to day by day choose the flow by giving the Lord our time. And one thing that I've really appreciated is rather than so many other things we could spend our time on, right? Redeeming it for the Lord, grasping the opportunity, and then learning to waste that time on the Lord. You know, learning to, quote, waste a lot of time on the Lord. Just spend a lot of time with Him. And practically, day by day, we can touch the flow and we can enter into what the Lord is doing today.
Amen. Amen. How are you all doing? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. My daughter has recently learned to praise the Lord. Not really, but whenever she hears you saying praise the Lord, so that way we let her know we're praising the Lord, huh? One, two, three. Praise the Lord! Okay. I just want to be very brief. I appreciate Viviana. She ended and she said one of her excuses was that she's usually busy. Raise of hands, how many of you have said you're busy, right, in order to ditch out on a meeting? Or an appointment, right? Okay, so what I want to do in a little more practical way, Ben presented something a little more of a vision. In a very practical way, let's look at your time. Let's look at where your time is. Let's look at some numbers, okay? So how about you take out the sheet? We provided the sheet for you. I'll just walk you through this very briefly, okay? So you see here, does everyone have a sheet? Good. There's just a few in the back. We may need to make more later. I'm sorry if we don't have enough. But this is a little brief comparison of college student schedules, okay? So I just want to ask one question in the beginning. You see here at the top, total hours per week, 168. Sleep hours, on average, let's say 7. So remaining wake hours, 119. How many of you sleep 6 or less hours a night by raise of hands? On average, okay? How many of you sleep around 7, 7.5 maybe? Okay, how many of you sleep 8+? Okay, you all didn't raise your hands. Okay, you know how much you sleep, right? But sleep is a big thing, right? I was just reading in Basic Elements, Volume 2. It's a little booklet to help you grow in your spiritual life. A person who loves their bed can never really love the Lord. Something to that effect, right? There's a competition every morning between loving the Lord and loving your bed, right? Okay, so a matter of time. Okay, so on average, let's just say we take about 7 hours, right? 7 hours of sleeping every day. That's enough to keep us healthy, right? Okay, so remaining wake hours, 119. Okay, let's look at a schedule of someone who's barely surviving. Huh? Someone who's barely surviving spiritually. Okay, morning revival, about 15 minutes a day. Weekly, that's 1 hour and 45 minutes, so 1.75, so you can understand this. And daily hours, that works out to be about 0.3. Okay, Lord's table, prophesying meeting, for some of you that's known as your Sunday service. Or Lord's table, so about 2 hours, you know, right, on the Lord's day. And then small group meeting, maybe 3 hours. Some of you have it Friday night, Thursday night. Appointment with a full-timer. Some of you have appointments with one another. 1 hour, okay? Spiritual activities, 7 hours and 45 minutes, 7.75. Okay, so you all know how to read this. If you break that down to daily hours, that's 1 hour a day, right? 1 hour a day. Okay, academics. This is a person barely surviving. 11 units, right? Some places 11 units isn't even full time, right? You have to have 12 units. Okay, But they're putting in 10 hours of studying. That's pretty good, right? One-to-one almost? Isn't that pretty good? They're barely surviving, okay? 21 hours of academics, all right? So spiritual, 7.75. Academics, 21. Academic spiritual, 28. You subtract that 28.8 from 119, you have 90-plus hours a week still. Wow. Okay? 90-plus hours a week. Look over here, academic plus spiritual, daily hours. Academic plus spiritual, 4.1. You see that number? So imagine you have class at night from 6 to 10. That means every day you're free from 6 a.m. in the morning till 6 p.m. at night. That's this person. You just take class 6 to 10 at night, or you take class 8 to 12 in the morning, and you have the whole day free. Okay? Lots of free time. Okay? Now let's look at another case. Extreme, right? This is pretty extreme. Okay? And don't take this extreme as the goal. Okay? This is not the goal. This is just an extreme. This is someone who fills up all their time. Spiritual, morning revival, 1 hour every morning. Wow. Bible reading, 1 hour every day, right? Ministry reading, 2 hours every day. Wow. Okay. Lord's table prophesying meeting. But after the Lord's Day meeting, they go to lunch in the homes to continue fellowshipping. Maybe they didn't get to prophesy, so they go to the saints' home and they prophesy, right? Okay. Student coordination meeting. Some of you have that. 1 hour, sometimes two. Prayer meeting every Tuesday night, 1 hour. Vital group meeting, 1 hour. Thursday small group, Friday small group, 3 hours each. Appointment with full-timers, 5 a week. 5 a week for 45 minutes each, right? Okay, Bible study on campus, 1 hour. Gospel, 1 hour. Young people's meeting, that's Saturday, 2.5 hours. College meeting, some of them have Saturday college meetings also, so they go to two meetings, right? 2 hours. Saturday morning cleaning, 2.5 hours, okay? 55 hours of spiritual activity. Academics, 17 hours, 17 units. That's a pretty full load. But they're taking 2 hours per class, right? 2 hours per unit to study, okay? Balancing, right, their spiritual activity with their academic. That person still has 12 hours, right? Still has 12 hours. 12 hours is a whole day. They still have one day, okay? It's an extreme schedule. But you can see, even this person has time, right? They still have time. After all the sleeping hours are taken out, they still have time. Okay, let's look at a modest schedule. I hope this would be something that most of us could attain, or most of us could set as a bare minimum goal rather than the survival schedule. Morning revival, 15 minutes a day. Bible reading, 15 minutes a day. Ministry reading, 30 minutes a day. So that comes out to be 1 hour. You spend time with the Lord, then you read the Word, then you read the ministry, 1 hour every day. Very good, okay? Lord's table, that's, of course, 2 hours. Prayer meeting, 1 hour. Amen for the prayer meeting. Amen. Bible study, 1 hour, right? Appointments with full-timer, 2 hours. I like what some students have been doing. Student with student appointments. Have you thought about that? Student-student appointments. Not just companion, but even shepherding appointments, okay? Maybe you could take one of those 2 hours for that. Small group meeting, right, 3 hours. And college meeting, 2 hours. Okay, this person has 18, right, weekly hours. Academics, still 17 units. That's quite a bit. With 21 hours of studying, okay? With these kind of goals of studying for this many hours, I think, for if anyone's in community college at least, or, you know, in their freshman year of college, wherever you are, you should be getting pretty good grades. I won't say anything else. Pretty good grades. 21 hours outside of class, right? I think you could achieve pretty good grades. So a modest spiritual schedule, a modest academic schedule, their free time still has 63 hours. Half of their time is still free, okay? So I'm just going to be very brief. That's as much as I'll say. But what I'd like you to do is to use the bottom half of this sheet. And one, I'd like you to actually write out your schedule. What do you actually do? Okay? Some of you may not even know what you do. You may not even know. Okay, so if you can't even write out your schedule because you don't know what you do with all that 53% of free time, those 63 hours, for this next week, just write down, what did I do this week? What did I do this week? Lord, where was I? What flow was I carried by that week? Right? Okay, so just write down. I really encourage you to do this. Right? Those that are caring for the students, do this with them. Write down what you have. And then look to see, set a goal. Set a goal. Lord, where can I go on? Where can I improve? Where can I add something in? Right? just to put this in a very sober way, one day, we all will be accountable for our time. And I just put this on myself. I want to redeem the time, okay? So I don't want to have any wasted time. I don't want to be carried by this other flow. We're not emphasizing this other flow, right? We're not emphasizing the tide of the age. On our front of our cover, it's divine stream, right? Because if we enjoy the divine stream, we will take care of the rest of our time. And we will be preserved from the other flow. But if we don't take care of this 53%, right, or this 75%, we will automatically be carried by the other flow, okay? If you look at a stream, everything that's flowing according to the stream is dead. Anything that is living, a fish, can flow against the stream, right? We have to redeem the time to be with the Lord in order to stand with the Lord in the divine stream. If we don't redeem the time to be in life, to be enlivened, there's no way. By default, we'll just be carried the other way, okay? So I hope Ben's fellowship and this little sheet, keep this with you. I received this sheet 5 years ago, and I still have it with me. And it impresses me, right? And it reminds me. I hope this would be a reminder to you to redeem your time and to help to live a scheduled living, okay? So we're just going to pass off for one more sharing here. And we'll conclude in a little bit.
Well, the brothers asked me to say a little word here as a conclusion. I don't get to spend much time with the college students anymore like I did before. So I'd like to tell you two stories that would maybe you would remember and that we have seen that may help us. It was 40 years ago that I was saved and came into the church life. For me, that was happened simultaneously because I was one of the ones who was an unbeliever. I heard the gospel by coming to a meeting, and I got saved in the church life, and I'm so happy about that. And so over this period of time, we have observed something, and I'm not selling my oldness, because I am a little bit older than you are. I don't think by that much. Maybe I'm physically old, but my heart is younger than yours. because I have a burning heart within my being. time is not something that should just be presumed. Time is a resource. Time has a limit. Time is a limited commodity. Time has a beginning and time has an ending. When we're young, we think we have time eternally. We have time in infinity. There's no such thing as the end of time. There is such a thing as the end of time. Just as there was a beginning of time, there is something called the end of time. And the end of time is clearly shown in the Word. And as believers, just as we believe that there was a beginning, a genesis, we also must believe that there will be an end of time. So time is a limited resource. You know, I was stuck. I was supposed to be in London. but I couldn't even get out of the East Coast because of the whole hurricane there, right? I couldn't. I had three flights. All three got canceled. So anyway, I turned around, and here I am. so just good to be here for a little bit anyway. But let me tell you about this time, because we all know that fuel is a limited resource, but we never think about time being limited. Not just the time that we are all under and that we are dictated by through our cell phone, but the time personally that we have. I'm going to ask Benjamin here to read two verses. You've probably read them if you've read Genesis, but you probably didn't pay much attention to them. And these two verses will account for the two stories that I will tell you, okay? The first, Benjamin is going to read Genesis 4:18, okay?
So Genesis 4:18, and Arad was born to Enoch, and Arad begot Mehujael, and Mehujael begot Methushael, and Methushael begot Lamech.
And you say, what kind of verse is that? It's hard to pronounce even those names. Okay, now here's another in Genesis chapter 5, 6 through 8.
And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. And Seth lived after he had begotten Enosh 807 years, and he begot more sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died.
Two genealogies, Genesis 4 and Genesis 5. In Genesis 4, you just have names. You just have names. They begot this, they begot this, they begot this. In Genesis 5, you have names, plus their age when they begot children, plus when they died and how much they lived on the earth. This is not accidental. This is put in by God. When we study the Bible, we study it in detail and we study it in depth. What is the difference? Why does one generation or one portion of the word mention the exact dates and how long they lived on the earth? And why does another record say just a name? Begot this, begot this, begot that. Well, when we read it casually, they're just a record of genealogies. But when we read it with the divine light and with the divine stream in our being, we can see there is a difference. Why? Because the difference is in Genesis chapter 4, you have the descendants of Cain who were not following the Lord. In Genesis 5, you have the descendants of Seth who were following the Lord. And because they followed the Lord, their life counted before God. If we don't follow the Lord, our life doesn't count. We can live until 90 to 100, but it may not count before God. It may count in the human life, no matter how successful or unsuccessful we are. What counts in God's eyes? What counts in God's eyes? The only ones that count in God's eyes are those who have fellowship with God and give themselves to God in whatever time that they have on the earth. So our condition, how many years, our spiritual condition, are numbered according to our condition before God. If we have an opening with the Lord, if we have a heart that is soft toward the Lord, then our years, brothers and sisters, no matter how long they are on the earth, they count. Even conversely, even if we live 120 years, yet they're not with the Lord. They just become bitter. And according to God, they don't count. You were just born, and then you die. But with Seth, the generation and the descendants of Seth, all these generations counted in the eyes of God. So Brother Watchman Nee has a message called Numbering Our Days. Even as a youth, we have to remember that we have to number our days. He gives us breath, and he takes away breath. That is up to him. It says that a man's breath is in the hands of the Lord. God has in his hands the breath of man. So thank the Lord that he gave us breath. Amen. But he also is the one who takes away the breath. Okay. Two stories. When I was saved 40 years ago, there was another brother who was saved about the same time, and we both were enjoying the Lord very much together. We were companions in the Lord, right? We were learning how to read the Bible together, just like the brothers have encouraged you. praying together, enjoying coming to the meetings together, these kind of things. At a certain point of time, this brother, all of a sudden, did not begin to follow the Lord so closely. It started off slowly at first, but eventually, he just disappeared from the scene. Well, when this brother, who is the same age that I am, he passed away just within the recent year, just within the last year. And I was thinking about his passing. We had some very good enjoyment when we were in our early 20s. And then now he was 57 and he passed away. But I was thinking, what kind of numbering of days does the Lord have with him? I'm not to judge. I'm not the Lord. Only the Lord is the Lord. But I can say that I don't know how many years there were there that he had the sweet and intimate and affectionate fellowship with God. I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But anyway, he passed away. After you pass away, time is over. You have no more opportunity to enjoy him. Right? We have no more opportunity to do anything related to the spiritual life. Actually, the end of life is the beginning of eternity. Don't think it's just an end. Eternity begins when our human life ends. It's a stepping stone into eternity. How do we get there? When we pass away from the physical life, we enter into the realm of eternity. Okay. Then, in contrast to this, just within the last 12 years, there was a brother here. He's a freshman, and I met him when he was, I think, a senior year in high school. And then he started coming. That time, the college conferences were much smaller. We could have all the college conferences at Engedi, at the camp there, I think, where some of the saints are staying. So the college, our numbers were small. And I think when I met him, this was probably a high school conference. And he lingered around after the meeting, and he introduced himself to me. And I was quite impressed with him, with his love for the Lord, but also his desire for the Lord. He was a young man, but he was a serious young man. Because he had some health issues, it caused him to not just be an 18-year-old who couldn't care for anything else and just lives completely self-centered, even in the church life. If it doesn't please me, if it doesn't suit me, then I'm not interested. The whole thing becomes just the world revolves around this, the self. And this is who we are as 18. I'm not trying to indict anybody. Anybody who's 18, we love you, we care for you, right? 19, whatever. But, you know, of course, we don't realize that until time keeps passing on. Then you say, wow, you know, I thought I could solve the problem of the whole earth when I was 16. And then when you're 26, you realize you didn't really know what you were talking about. Okay. I was going to mention, praise the Lord, I get to speak with my son-in-law. You know, I never thought that I could speak with my son-in-law. Isn't that great? Yeah. The Lord has preserved us in his recovery, so that's his daughter. And then I'm happy to say that's my granddaughter. Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy about that? All the trainees know that. They I tell them, I remind them all the time. Okay. So this brother was here, and then I met him. We also had a conversation. He was very much interested to keep up the contact. So that was the time when we kept up contact. We had a few times together, sometimes over the phone, but sometimes one-on-one. Then at 19... I saw him twice, from the first time I met him. Once in a conference and once someplace else, and I think we had some fellowship. Then at 19, I got a call that he had passed away. He was there at a college conference, and then his heart just stopped. It just stopped, and his father was right there, and he just died in his father's arms. He was a real brother, a real believer, an enjoyer and lover of the Lord in the church life. Well, when his family went through his things. They saw some things, some correspondence that we had. And in his wallet, he had something that I had given him. I think it was my phone number or something, a way to reach me, different things. So they wanted me to come to his funeral. He was a sophomore in college at that time, and he had a lot of friends. He was quite outgoing and quite a popular person. And so a number of the students of his friends came because it was something so unexpected. Nobody would expect that. And so I came there and I shared something with them, some of these ones on Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 5. In contrast, this brother who was with me in the early years, 40 years ago, we cared for him, we very much loved him, but then he went off and he left the sweetness of the Lord's fellowship. And then he passed away. And this young brother, he only had a few years, but I would say the Lord counted his years. His years counted before God. At 19, he passed away. But his years counted before God. It's not a matter of waiting till you're 60 and then trying to gain all of God that you can. You can't do that because we don't know how much time the Lord has given to us. These two ones, I knew them quite well. And so I want to just give you these two stories to let you know. Our life and time means a lot. Why don't we want to waste the time? We don't want to waste the time because we don't know how much time has been allotted to us. We just don't know. And so as the opportunity arises, we want to redeem all the time we can, right? To follow the Lord, to love the Lord, to enjoy the Lord. And we always feel, you know, we never regret going to a meeting. We always regret not going to a meeting, right? I know you all struggled. So many of you struggle coming up here. Big Bear is so far away. It's so cold. I got so many things. But now you're so happy. Aren't you happy that you're here, right? Why? Because it's a struggle to come, right? But when you're here, the Lord just appears, and the Lord is there. So it doesn't take much. We just follow the Lord a little bit, and we follow one another. We follow the brothers and sisters. You know, right away I see Whitney here. Whitney, when was it that you had contacted the saints there at OCC? Whitney, stand up. Where's Aubrey? Where's Aubrey?
Audrey.
Audrey, sorry. Yeah, okay, these two. I got to meet them maybe a year ago or something at OCC, right? A year ago? A year and a half ago?
Probably longer.
Okay, a little bit longer. And then there's John here also. How did John get here? He came from Wisconsin or something. All of a sudden, he ended up... Well, no one knows what they did beforehand. But I can surely say all the times that they've enjoyed the Lord has counted before God. All the days that they have enjoyed the Lord. John, how long has it been with you? 3 years. Isn't that marvelous to enjoy the Lord for the... I hope it would continue for another 300 years, John. Okay. And so, well, how about you, Whitney? When was it?
1 year.
Very good. Audrey?
I guess 3.5 years.
3.5 years. Very good. Okay. The reason why I asked him to stand up is we may think, thank you, we may think, well, you know, this and that, and I've lost time. That's okay. You've lost time. You're still young. You're still young. You can redeem the time. I'd like to give you a concluding verse, and this is in Psalm 84:10. Psalm 84 is a marvelous psalm. A day in your courts is better than 1,000. That means when you enjoy the Lord with the brothers and sisters, for one day you have just redeemed 1,000 days. 1,000 days, that's over 2.5 years. Wow. So you have redeemed just being at the conference from Friday night to Lord's Day to tomorrow. How many years have you redeemed, right? Praise the Lord. We have, the Lord has given us human life, The Lord has given us the spiritual life. The Lord has given us the time that we're in. We want to take advantage. And we want, when we see the Lord, or when the Lord takes us to Himself, we want our years, our life, and our days to count before God. Amen? Okay. How about we just take a minute just to pray with those around us, and the brothers will give us some announcements.